What in the hell's...
Leaf Central at lunch, baby.
Well, I could be wrong, but I believe...
Leaf Central?
...is an old, old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our 8th episode of Leaf Central. At lunch. Today we're going to be discussing, of course, the Leafs in the last week. This is, what, week 4 in review, I believe?
Yep.
Yeah, we have 3 games to talk about, and both 2 of them are losses, so that sounds like the norm lately. But first, before we get started, we're going to get our contact information. Brian, you want to just quickly give that a whirl?
LeafCentralAtLunch.blogspot.com is our blog. Read our articles, listen to our show, leave us some comments, and we could be reached at our email address at LeafCentral@gmail.com.
Very enthusiastic. Thank you, Brian.
.com!
Okay, Dave, the Sporting News Pool, you want to give us an update on who's leading right now, or do you have that available?
I do. We've had a change in leadership here. I Love Leafs 3, I believe, has been in the lead for quite some time now, ever since Super Wainers Wieners fell from grace in first place there. But now, Flaves Picks, which is that jerk James's team, they've taken over first place.
Who's James?
James, remember, there was a guy named James. We used to see him every now and then. I don't know, it's really weird. Is he with us right now, James? Are you there?
Yeah.
I guess not.
Sounds familiar, but I just can't, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, anyway. I was thinking that. It's kind of funny that every week we mention how he's missing, but I bet you everyone has no idea who it is anyways, actually, yeah, the first right. 3 episodes.
Maybe he'll be back someday. Anyway, but he's winning in the hockey pool, yeah. And so I'm sure that's all that matters to him. So he's number one. I Love Leafs 3 is in second place, followed by Super Wainers Wieners. And then Brian, you're in fourth, and I've made it up into fifth place. Chris, you're in sixth.
It sickens me.
And then goes on from there. And then we have a new team in there, Canada's Pride.
Yeah.
Oh, another one. Let's go.
Yeah. They're only
way behind.
Yeah, only 2,491 points behind. But
that's
anyways,
okay.
You and Dave both. Brian, you spent a good couple of days there as a leader. That's fallen. But
that's
and
good
Dave,
management.
Oh, is it?
That's what that is.
That's not trading and drafting well.
Yeah, I'll get in there eventually.
Yeah, you'll get back up on top. Before we talk Leafs, though, just quickly, in case anyone's interested, Modano finally broke the record for the highest-scoring American player.
Yeah, that's
he got
right.
His 1,233rd point in 1,253 games, which is something almost near 300 less games than who was holding it for?
Housley,
that's right, although he was a defenseman.
Yeah.
So now he's actually 35th all-time in points, and he's only 6 points behind before he passes Stastny. So he's moving up. I don't know how much longer he has to play. Anybody have any comments on Modano?
Good for him. I think it's great that he did it, but I have nothing much else really to say. I'm sure. I don't know. Do you think he'll play much more past this year?
I think he'll be around for a little bit longer. He had a tough stretch there where he gave up the captaincy and a bit of a rough patch for Dallas. But I think he still has a couple more years in him. He seems to have settled down.
Yeah, we were talking about that before, how he came very close to just walking away from the game. He lost his desire to play, and it started, you know, one of that was, like you said, getting rid of the captaincy, and I'm surprised he stuck it out.
Yeah, did he even get rid of the captaincy, or was it taken from him?
No, he gave it up.
Oh, yeah, because I know...
I can't remember exactly the reasons, I'd have to look it up, but he gave it up.
Yeah, because I know in New Jersey, which we'll be talking about soon... Eliash was stripped of the captaincy, so
yeah,
and he's had definitely a poor year so far. We'll get into that when we talk about the New Jersey game, though. Another player to talk about who just announced his retirement, I think today, and that's Lindros.
He's going to be announcing it tonight.
Is it tonight? Okay.
Yep.
And the heated debate, of course, among all of people out there in the media, is he worthy of the Hall of Fame? Anybody have any comments about that? Or
I think he's. What's that?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that I think he's definitely worthy of the Hall of Fame. When you consider how he started his career, he was on fire. I mean, he was a couple years, 115 points in 95-96. Even his first year, 75 points in 61 games, 97 points, 65 games, an extra 70 points in 46 games. So I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with when he first started.
So he had, they say, 6 to 8 years when he was undoubtedly the best player in the league. He took the Flyers to the, what year was it when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals against Detroit?
It was either 97 or 98 because they were back-to-back. I think it was 97 because 98 they played Washington.
Yeah.
And they got swept, but he still led the team, and I think he got 12 goals in that series. He's averaged, what is it, Dave, 1.8 goals a game, I think, over his career? No,
yeah.
Not that many.
Well, 1.18. Goals
anyway,
a game?
It's over one,
no, not
one,
goals.
It's over, no, points.
Yeah,
it's
points
over
a game.
1 point a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just, Lindros will always come with baggage when you talk about when he was in the juniors, refusing to play for Sault Ste. Marie and Phil Esposito, refusing to play for Quebec. And the very public issues he had with Bob Clark and the Flyers, he's always been very outspoken, not just him, but him and his parents, too. And that's one of the biggest things he's remembered for. And unfortunately, the last couple of years of play, he just suffered through injury after injury. And what did he have last year, eight goals with Dallas?
Five, yeah. But and even in line with what you were saying about his injury and his presence in the dressing room, on the Flyers, he was obviously, you know, an asset in the dressing room. But I had heard last year on Dallas when he was finally ready to come back, there was a group of players that went to the coach and the GM and said, do not let him back in the lineup. We don't want him playing for us.
Well, remember, too, though, and I think when we're talking about Lindros in the Hall of Fame, I think we're going to see him there. I think it's going to take some time. I don't think we're going to see him be entered in his first year of eligibility, which will be 3 years from now. You're going to see some time with him because he's retiring, not because just of his injuries, but he's very much involved now in the union. He what's the position ombudsman he's taking, or they're figuring he's going to take. He was one of the key players in pushing, investigating the Saskin issue, bringing in the current president they have now. And he's going to be active amongst the players' union for a long, long time. And I think that also is going to contribute to what his position will be in the Hall of Fame. It's not even far-fetched to consider he may be in the builder category, if that's even, if you're even eligible as a builder as part of the union, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
he's
going to be involved for a long, long time, and I think you'll see it'll be quite a while before he gets in there just for people to sit back and see exactly how he leaves his fingerprint on the league, whether through his on-ice play and even off-ice involvement.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to move it along because it kind of seems in line. Him and Forsberg come in at the same time. They're connected through Quebec and through Philly. Otherwise, Forsberg was a Philly pick, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like he's retiring too, or quite possibly will because of injuries. And he almost, I think he went on to say he was almost ashamed or embarrassed that he, just the way he's been playing and how hard he's been trying and that he just can't get over the injuries. So obviously,
there's
a guarantee he's going to be.
Tournament.
Yeah, there's a guarantee he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I think no one would argue that. So, but then
no.
He does have two Stanley Cups as well, so.
Yeah, no, and just to clarify with Forsberg, he was actively trying to get back into the NHL this year. He joined the Swedish.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that Lindros didn't want to get back in. I'm sure if someone showed interest, he probably would have.
No. When you were referring to Forsberg, he was trying hard. He joined the national team, and he had to take himself out just after a few practices because he's realized that his injuries are just far too great to overcome. And it's really too bad. The guy was incredible. And he obviously wanted it, but it's not going to happen.
It's weird that the feet and the ankles would cause that much. Like, I'd love to know what kind of condition he has that would cause him to have such weak
it's
ankles.
Weird,
you know?
It's weird that if you have bad feet, you can't play hockey. I can't figure that one out.
Don't know if you're retard. I don't mean like that. But
I thought that was.
Spent all his time, no doubt, from the time he was so young on skates and. I don't know, maybe it just degeneratively it began to bother his feet, but I don't. It just seems so weird, something like that.
Know. Maybe just ties his skates too tight.
I guess so. Well, apparently they're always, he might be doing what Chelios does and just keep getting a size smaller every year or whatever he does.
Mm-hmm.
Before we quickly recap the games, just Dave, we forgot to mention we have a lot of votes on the NHL's new gargoyle, and the leader hasn't changed yet. But what do we have there going on? Have you had a chance to look at that?
Briefly, I don't have it in front of me now, but I know that Ron Brindamore is still way in the lead with something like 44% of the votes as the new gargoyle in the league, and I think following it at a distance with only 15%, Pascal Leclerc, which I believe was your vote.
Yeah,
he's in second place, and then we have there's a couple sharing third place at around 14%.
No, Malkin is in
Malkin.
Third.
Yeah,
very close to Leclerc though. Yeah. They've been neck and neck the whole time, and then after that, it's quite a gap.
Yeah, and someone just got their first vote again.
Oh, Jamie's just nomination of George Larac.
George Larac
his first.
He probably voted for himself. That's all.
It's quite possible that's where that vote
came guy.
From. There's been a lot of nominated ones from people that have been leaving votes that we never got in there that I wish we got in. But
oh, you got to check out the pictures some of these people are putting on. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And you can check that out at the hfboards.com and just check out the polls and you'll find it under NHL New Gargoyle. So let's move ahead.
Actually, hold on one sec. Did you notice Tuukka Rask was up first game yesterday?
As a backup.
Yep. Didn't get any ice time, but he got his first call up. So that's pretty interesting. You need to see what happens.
I guess that's cool.
I'm expecting to see him against Raycroft head to head in
next
the week.
Next week.
Awesome.
Oh,
no,
that
but
that'd
be good. All right. So let's review the games. We had the last one we reviewed or were up to is the Friday night game versus the Devils.
Yeah.
Close game. It was 1-1 all the way into the third. The Leafs are playing some pretty tight defense, pretty solidly against New Jersey, and it fell apart.
Yep.
Anybody have any comments?
It was a very frustrating game to watch because they were playing a decent game, and then they allowed that shorthanded goal, which, I mean, I still... it's so frustrating to watch the defensive coverage where... that was the one where Cavalier came screaming in to take the phantom pass that didn't exist instead of going right to the shooter. I don't understand that. And I mean, Toskola, he was at a position a little bit. Wouldn't you say his angles were off a touch?
I would say so. Yeah. Again, it was the same shot that Raycroft was beat, except Toskola was actually challenging. The problem was he was challenging and just a little too far to his right, I think, but some may disagree with that.
It was a good shot. It was off the post and in, was it not? Like right up in the top corner? So,
I think it was the bottom corner off the post, but it was still...
Well, that was high, but yeah.
I could be wrong. But again...
You probably are.
That didn't turn out to be the winning goal, though. We thought it would have been, and that would have been definitely quite upsetting. There was another breakdown shortly after when... what is his name? Parise came in and just stormed the net and got. It's, he has a quote here where he said it seemed like he had three or four shots to put it in.
He did have three or four shots to put it in. Are you crazy? Did you see it? Oh, that was so frustrating. And you know, a lot of people put Kabina on the hook for that one because it was kind of in front of Kabina, but Kabina was all alone with two guys in front of the net, and I don't blame him for trying to at least take the pass out because if he had gone after. Who has a Parise that scored, then it would have left, I forget who was on the wing, would have had the open net. It was just, it was horrible. And who was his partner that night? Was it Wasniewski?
Was it Kaberle?
Either way, whoever it was.
It's Kaberle, because they've been partners for the last few games.
Partners for a while. Yeah. It just was caught flat-footed, Parise danced around him, and had he had three whacks at it before he finally slid it under Toskola. It was horrible.
Man, Cavalier is really not doing much to endear himself to the Norris Trophy voting like we said he might be able to at the beginning of the year.
Is he still second best defenseman in the league? Yeah.
Well, you know what? The good part about the pluses in that game, though, was they kept their shots down. Only 21 shots.
Yep.
It's just, you know, you keep your shots down and you have a close game. You make one big mistake, and then unfortunately, right after that, another big mistake, and you find yourself down 3-1. They got one too little too late from Sundin, banking it off Brodeur. But, you know, that goes to show, you make that one mistake and Madden gets the shorthanded goal. If you just buckle up and play a little tighter again and not let, not let Parise get that third goal, you still have a chance in the game. But then you're going down 3-1 and you only have 2 minutes to tie it or less. You know, the odds are far too against you to even come back from something like that.
Yeah, but another point from that game was that highlight reel goal by Alexander Steen, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What a goal.
Yeah, and that was a power play goal.
That every week.
The Leafs were 1-for-5 that night, and their penalty killing was perfect. So that's another plus, you know, only 0-for-4, but then shorthanded goal, right?
Yeah.
So they may have got a power play goal, but they also surrendered a shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
So their power play has definitely not been looking well. Anybody have the stats recently on what their power play is at?
Well, I haven't had a look.
They are at power play 13%.
Yikes.
So, which is good enough for, let's see, a solid 26th
second
in the
last league. Oh, 26. Wow.
26, yeah. Any other comments about that game? I mean, it's not much to say. Fell apart last minute.
I'd have to say again, I don't think Brodeur looked the best.
No.
Do you think it's time for maybe some people to start worrying there?
Brodeur's had a great couple weeks. I think he's out of that early season funk.
Yeah.
He's been doing quite well lately.
Yeah. I haven't been able to watch him, but I know his numbers aren't up to par, but I'm sure they will improve. It's just the anomaly of the beginning of the season and just a little bit of a slump from his whole team.
Yeah.
We talked about it a bit last week, Dave, with the new coaching and everything. So
yeah, oh yeah.
So that was a Friday night, and that was the first of the back-to-backs. And were we all happy to see Toskola in back-to-back and not going with the backup for Montreal?
Well, I'd have to say we were all wrong on that. Hey, Chris,
I think I figured on you'd see him playing both.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I remember you signing off before we discussed it.
No, I remember this. Replay the tape. I remember you guys thought they'd split it.
You never listened to the show anyways. How would you know?
Because I was talking at the time.
Oh, yeah. And your memory is so perfect, I'm sure. We all agree on that.
All right, it's Gang Up on Bri time. We should have a segment like Gang Up on Bri with my own team music.
Can we hit you with things? Okay, anyways, let's say you were right. Tosca got the back-to-back starts, which I'm happy for myself. I think he deserved it. I mean, he didn't play bad in New Jersey. He kind of got a bum deal there. Any comments about the Montreal game?
Nice to see them win.
That's it?
That's all I care about. They won a game. Woo!
Well, I have to say, it was Huey again. Another weak game versus the Leafs.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? That's true.
Yeah, he's playing solidly all year. The night after, he went out and got himself a shutout. I forget against who, but I just, every game, at least three that I can think of, including going back to last year, Huey has played poorly against the Leafs. Yeah. Obviously, the last game of the season, we all know how bad he was there.
Oh, yeah.
The first game of this year, he passes the puck right to Sundin, you know?
Yeah.
And this game, I would say that two of the Leafs' three goals were weak on his part, especially the game-winning goal with just a minute and a half left. That was definitely a goal he should have had. Anybody disagree with that?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
The end.
Well put.
The end, that's it. We all agree. UA sucked that game, that's it. No other comments?
Nice to see another power play goal.
Yeah.
Zero power
play. Yeah.
You know, there has been some... Huh?
2 games in a row, they get a power play goal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's nice to see that improving because that's one thing that we're, lacking compared to last year is our power play abilities.
Yeah, well, it was improving up until the Ottawa game, so...
Yeah, okay, exactly. We're going to get to that.
That was a segue.
Yeah, they were 1-for-3 against Montreal, and they were, 1-for-3 as well against New Jersey, or 1-for-4. If you want to segue right ahead into the Ottawa game, that's where it went sour.
Do we have to talk about the Ottawa game, really?
Yeah, I think we do a bit.
You know,
it went sour.
The last, when I was hosting a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about how the Leafs progressed through that week by eliminating their shorthanded situations and improving their chances to win. And I think Ottawa took unreasonably high number of penalties. The Leafs definitely had the advantage on the power play and still couldn't do it.
Well, I think Ottawa was experimenting. I thought they were deciding to see how many pucks they could throw over the glass and still beat the Leafs.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Well, that could be it then.
That's what
the Leafs were
thing
definitely...
Is that...
Oh, sorry, Dave.
They gave the Leafs every opportunity to come back. For every goal they scored, they gave them two power plays. I couldn't believe it. And I was every time, okay, we can get it back right away, get that one right back, and we got one power play goal.
One for nine, and we had 15 minutes. That's almost one full period on the power play.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's what we were saying, the Leafs just need to stay out of the box and capitalize on the power plays, and we'll be able to win, and wow, nope.
Well,
keep in mind, they are playing, the Ottawa Senators have now set a league record for season start. Was it
most
14
points.
And then one?
Yeah.
So, it's arguably the best team in the league. So they could have given them two periods of power play time, and there's a great chance the Leafs still would have lost. So,
well, do you hear now they're comparing them to the Montreal Canadiens team that went 68-12?
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll
yeah. Right. Isn't that a little premature? I would say.
That's making everyone laugh a little, I think.
Well,
but then again, the other black mark on the game was that another shorthanded goal. Two shorthanded goals in three games. Goals against in three games. That's horrible. I can't. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, the first goal of the game for Ottawa, White had a bad game, clearly. Pinching on the, and he was pinching at the center line. And that breaks the 2-on-1. And almost all the goals on Toskala were just empty nets, pretty much.
Yeah, White, and it's too bad because White had such a good game on Saturday.
Exactly. And White has a solid game Saturday and can't continue the...
blows it the next time. I don't know if he just had too much confidence in his pinching, because I've always liked his tenacity on the point and his ability to read the plays and pinch when he... Like, he's usually successful at his decision-making when it comes to pinching in from the blue line, but this was on Tuesday. Yeah. It was just horrible. He got caught out of position so many times, which led to how many goals? At least one of the goals was a direct result of his poor decision.
The first goal, for sure.
I think he was a minus three on the night, wasn't he, White?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so that's the liability that comes with a player like that is they take high-risk plays, and usually they succeed if they have their head in the game, but, boy, when they go down, they go down spectacularly. And that was an excellent case of White doing that on the Ottawa game.
Now, a couple of points in that game. We saw some fresh faces. We saw Mark Bell's first game, and we saw Wellwood come back. We also saw Gamache go on waivers and get put down. He cleared waivers. Any comments at all on Bell and Wellwood? I noticed myself Bell, at the end, at least showed a little fire. He was pretty pissed. He got that 10-minute misconduct fighting with Neil right
think,
by the board.
I do think Wellwood was trying to be a little fancy with his passing. I mean, that's what we've been lacking. And, you know, it's his first game back. What really surprised me, though, is that he was in for over 17 minutes.
That didn't surprise me. Once they...
Maurice called right at the beginning. He said he'll be in for no more than 10 to 12 minutes just to ease him in.
Yes,
which
once
where Bell was at.
But
that was
they,
at 10 minutes.
Once they fell apart and you saw him change him from Pohl and Bell and Wellwood and put him up on the line with Blake and Bell and him, you knew that it was just, all right, we're behind, we have to get back, let's see what Wellwood can do.
And unfortunately...
too much pressure on the kid to come in and everyone thinks that, okay, Wellwood's back, that's it, we're going to start winning now.
And
again, our problems aren't defensive. And he's not going to help. I mean, our offensive, and that's primarily what he's going to help with.
He was directly responsible for one of those goals in the cough up on the offensive blue line, if you guys saw that.
Just
trying to be two cutes going across the blue line and just got cleanly swept of the puck. And they rushed her down for two-on-one, I believe it was a two-on-one goal. And
to be fair.
Like you said, Dave, our problem isn't... our problem is an offense.
I said it, not Dave.
Whatever.
I was thinking it before you said it, though.
Yeah. See, that's right.
I'm the first person in Toronto to point that out, by the way. No one else figured that out except me.
No, I don't. I haven't heard that once.
No, it's true. I can't even remember what I was trying to say. The problem isn't our offense. Our problem is when our offense screws up defensively, and that's exactly what happened on that play.
Yeah. Well, you got to be fair to Wellwood. with all that pressure that he's putting, I'm sure he's putting on himself, the media is putting on him, he just wants to come in and, you know, be spectacular. But it takes time.
No pressure at all.
Well, look, no, there is, no, I'm saying there is pressure. Well, I don't know what you're trying to say.
No, you just said he just wants to come in and be spectacular. This is on the, anyway.
Yeah, that's because there's so much pressure, not only from the media, but on himself as well. You don't disagree, you don't agree with that?
No, I agree. I just misunderstood what you were trying to say.
Oh, yeah. So he's trying these spectacular plays, like the cutesy passes that we always see Spezza try, although he wasn't in the lineup that day. Any comments on Spezza getting that massive contract?
I think he's worth it.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, of course. Anybody else would have done it, I would think.
Yep. And it stops the ability of this offer sheet fiasco that's been going on, because I'm sure every team in the league would have tried to sign him to an offer sheet.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how Ottawa can handle these three big contracts. Not the contracts that they have, but the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of money tied up in those guys.
Do you see them going the way of Tampa Bay?
No.
Are they going down that road?
No. I'll tell you why. One reason is Tampa Bay never spends to the cap. I mean, they could get a couple more players, but they have a budget. Ottawa, I think, won't be afraid to spend close to the cap. I don't think they'll go right up against it, but they still have more wiggle room just because of that. And Redden apparently said he'll take a discount, but it's not going to be that much of a discount. A couple million bucks, that's nothing.
I'll take his discount.
Yeah. Anybody heard the... actually, I wanted to finish off on... So Gamache gets sent to the Marlies, and you heard an interview with him, Brian?
Yeah.
Where he was completely not happy with that decision, hey?
Well, he was very diplomatic in how he presented himself. There has been some talk amongst the media of whether he's going to be dealt with or reprimanded by speaking out against the decision of the coaching staff, but... He essentially said, you know, he came here, he's 30 years old, he came here to play in the NHL. He has more, now that he has been sent down and has cleared waivers now, but, since the interview, but he says he has other options open to him and he may explore them, meaning that he is considering not even reporting to the Marlies camp. Now, I don't know what the situation is now, what he's decided to do, but it comes down to him feeling that he has not been used properly, especially when it comes to the power play and the penalty kill. And you got to feel for the guy. I mean, he's on a team of, it's Toronto. The fans and the media expect the best. And to sling a guy like Gamache out of nowhere and expect to play on one of the power play or penalty kill units is a big demand on a guy like that. And it just didn't happen. And he's disappointed. He felt that's where he would shine, and he didn't have that opportunity, and I think that's where he's feeling the most disappointment.
So you think it was wise to, obviously then him being sent down means Tlusti is the one that stays. Is that the same decision you would have made?
Well, I think you kind of have to. Tlusti was a big pick this year. He's supposed to be the guy. You're going to have to bring him in eventually. He made an impact in his first couple of games, there's no doubt. And you need to showcase your
first round pick.
Yeah.
This is pretty much Ferguson's one and only first round pick.
Yeah. Yep. And you need to showcase it. It wasn't Ferguson's decision to send him down or keep him up. It was a coaching staff decision, and you know, I can't blame him for it. I mean, like I said, I feel bad for Gamache, but
I think it was a good decision.
I think he may have had too high an expectation, and you know, at this point in his career, you know, he needs to decide what he's going to do.
And Tlusti and Steen and Stajan there have had some chemistry, and he's looked good. I mean, he's got a knack for getting behind defense, and we saw that against Ottawa.
Yeah, ever.
He got that breakaway.
Yeah.
And he's still pretty feisty in the corners, I'd say, for such a young guy, and not a huge guy either.
No, and
I'd like to see him stay. And you know, once Tucker comes back, I still think there's probably room for him,
I think you're going to see him for a while. And there is some talk that Ferguson's trying to save his ass by showcasing Tlusti his pick and all this. And you know, that's first of all, it's impossible to be the case because, like I said, it wasn't his decision to keep him. But if you look at the last guy who came into the Marlies organization that was supposed to be this big thing, Skuglubov, who absolutely did nothing, and they had no problem cutting ties with this kid. So,
yeah,
I don't think it's I know it's not a matter of playing to lose, you just so you can say, hey, look what I did. The kid's got potential. He's a first-round pick, and you need to showcase him.
Yeah. I'm glad to see him staying, myself.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? So now, today, Strawman has been sent down. So does that mean McCabe is definitely back Friday night against Buffalo?
Yep.
I would say so.
Yeah, McCabe's supposed to be back in Tucker against Buffalo, and there's talk of Koliakovo returning very soon.
You know, honestly, I listening to Hockey Central, they had Brian Muir on. It's kind of funny that it's a name that you've probably never heard that much, but he's been around for quite a long time, and I didn't even know this, but he won a cup with Colorado, probably as a fifth or sixth defenseman, right? Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder, when they've been having defensive trouble, and he's the type of defenseman that is a stay-at-home, more responsible defensively, I think, from what I've heard. It's odd that they never gave him a game or two to see what he could do. You think that's a possibility if McCabe isn't coming back?
Well, I think...
Or you think that'll never happen? He's not going to be called up?
I think he could be called up, but the thing is, he does have some mental lapses on defense.
Does he?
To my understanding, yeah, where his zone coverage, he kind of gets a little lost. He's another good puck mover, which we have many of right now that are able to make that outlet pass.
In theory.
But what I've been hearing recently is that he does have a tendency to lose himself in the defensive end.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing that we need.
That is true. That is definitely true.
When it comes to Strawman, I think it was a good move sending him back down to the AHL. And because he's been averaging, out of the last three games, he had 12 minutes two games and only 4 minutes against Montreal. In the win, he only played 4 minutes. So if they really want to develop him, I think he needs to play more minutes down on the Marlies.
A quick comment about Kubina. Has he been the best defenseman this last three or four games, or maybe even this last half
question
a month?
The whole... I wouldn't even put it as far off to say the whole year so far. He's the most...
consistent,
yeah, what
maybe?
The consistent, that's the word I'm looking for, the most consistent of the defense.
You think so?
I don't disagree. He's better than he was last year, that's for sure. But to say he's the best defenseman on such a terribly defensive team really isn't saying all that much.
Doesn't say much, yeah.
That's true.
But it's a shame that he's still getting the bad rap all the time.
From your best friend, Bill Water.
Oh, yeah, Billy. Oh, gotta love that guy.
So just a quick Friday against Buffalo. What are we looking at? Buffalo's definitely hasn't been doing too well lately.
No.
They've been, where are they in the standings here? Let's just take a quick look at the standings. Anybody have that? I had it a second ago. Toronto has dropped out of the playoffs. Not that we're anywhere.
Oh, no.
I know, eh? Oh, crap. They're in eighth. That's just because they have so many, what's that?
Buffalo is last in the Northeast.
Okay, they're at 11th with, 6 wins, 7 losses. One overtime loss, 13 points. 45 goals against, which is another little problem there, although that's still not, you know.
Oh, that's only 20 behind us.
Oh, dear. And it's frustrating, eh, Dave? You getting a little frustrated there?
Well, I think it's the only team in the league that's above 60 now in goals against, that's for sure.
Above 60 in 16 games. Oh, geez. It's pretty terrible, but do they have a chance against Buffalo? I would think so.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I think they have a good opportunity here against Buffalo to kind of right the ship again. But unfortunately, I think that's just going to be the way the rest of the season is going to go.
Yeah.
Just slump, and then I don't think maybe once they've had this year they put together back-to-back wins. So.
Yeah. And that's when we thought they were going to right the ship and start playing some good defensive hockey. So... Buffalo still much faster team. I think they won last night. Miller's been not as strong as you would expect, but that's, I think, because defensively the whole team hasn't been as strong as mm-hmm. they were last year, which is unusual because they didn't really lose anyone in defense. They only lost up front.
Yeah.
Well, it's the with this team, and I think Miller actually came close to saying it outright, the biggest losses in the dressing room with their two co-captains. And it's killed a lot of chemistry both on and off the ice with this team. And they're struggling to kind of refine their identity.
Oh, speaking of... Oh, finish?
Finish.
Okay. Finish. Speaking of alternate captains, did anyone notice, and am I just out to lunch or did I not realize this, that Antropov is now the alternate captain?
Yeah,
he took the A from McCabe when McCabe went down.
That's why, okay, I was kind of assuming that was why, but I didn't hear anybody say anything about that.
Yeah, McCabe's going to get it back, obviously, when he's back in the lineup, but Marie said the way Antropov has been playing, and the way he's now being looked up to by his teammates, he's as worthy as anyone else of holding that position.
Yeah, it's well earned.
Anything else from around the league that you guys notice? Anything from the other teams? Columbus still continuing their incredibly strong play, although they did lose last night. But Pascal Leclaire with 5 shutouts. Have you seen his leading the... Leading the goaltending. Let's see this. 1.12 goals against average.
That's crazy.
9.57 save percentage. And I would think that a lot of this is contributable to Hitchcock. We mentioned this.
Yeah.
But and them actually buying into his system finally.
Also, it's an interesting story for goalies this year. Look at Chris Osgood. Man, is he still undefeated?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's the other thing. Hasek is coming back, so. Yeah. They have a big decision to make since Hasek has kind of not been doing as well when the first half of the season. So, you know, I noticed something funny on checking out the Leafs site. John Ferguson has a blog, eh? You guys ever take a look at that?
I looked at it for the first 4 weeks, and he never wrote anything in it. So
I have this funny quote from him, and it's not funny until you... Well, just let me read it to you. And this is it's a little old, though. It's from October. It's nothing yet in November. He says, despite the number of goals we've given up, our goaltending has improved over last year. Goaltending is the bellwether of the club. Does anybody know what bellwether is? I had to look it up but I'm going to ask you guys. It says the play of both Andrew Raycroft and Vesa Toskala has been consistent and at times very, very good. I don't know if anybody agrees with that, but anybody know what a bellwether is?
No idea.
Brian?
Enlighten me.
Has anyone ever heard that expression?
Nope. It sounds familiar to me, but...
Really? I just thought it was funny because the...
How do you spell it? That's a good word for Wayne's World.
Bellwether? Yeah, because you think...
Bellwether with no A.
There's no A, that's right. Yeah. But I like the origin of the word is what I thought was funny. It's derived from Middle English, and it refers to the practice of placing a bell around the neck of a castrated ram, which is the weather... So that he can lead his flock of sheep. So I think, is he saying that Toskala is our castrated ram leading the flock of sheep over the hill there?
Awesome. To the slaughter, maybe.
To the slaughter.
I would say Toskala is the bell and poor Raycroft is the castrated ram.
Oh, that's funny. But
ding,
actually,
ding, ding.
But I think he meant to the stock market term where they're the stock of the company that's regarded as the leader in the industry, but I don't know if that even is comparable. Toskala being the leader of goaltenders.
No, I'm going with the castrated ram. That's
you're going
awesome.
With the castrated ram.
Okay. Yeah, I think he should paint that on his helmet because you know he still has the old San Jose Sharks motif. That doesn't work.
Yeah,
can't have shark funny. Face on there. Go with no ball ram. No that's ball awesome.
Ram. No ball ram.
That's going to be our next poll. I'm going to do up a drawing of what he should have on his helmet. It'll be a castrated ram, and we'll see.
Maybe you should try it out on your helmet for a little bit.
That's a new project. Actually, that's a good idea. I'll put on my mask first, see how it goes.
I had another in the HF boards. I had another question of what team would Forsberg be suited for, best suited for if he was kind of to come back. Maybe we should have a new vote or a new poll. Which retirement home should Forsberg join? Because it's definitely clear he's retiring. Okay, so I think that's about it for news around the league. Anything else? The players of the week. Did anybody have that?
3 stars? No, I didn't even take a look at it, really.
Oh, okay, they had it up the other day. You know, I look at the NHL...
I know, what's his name was number one? Kovalchuk. was the first start.
That's right. Back-to-back hat tricks.
Yeah, and then he was going for his third, and he ended up leaving the game hurt. Did he ever come back, by the way?
I don't think he's injured right now. He's fine.
He's okay. All right.
Yeah. You know, if you check the NHL Network under the news site, did everyone ever check that? And it has the news. It says the same stories, like, repeatedly.
Like a million times, yeah.
I don't understand that. No. Does anybody understand that?
It's just a feed.
1 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not a fan of that at all.
All right, so coming up, guys, we have one more quick segment we're going to be playing for you. It's an interview with the guys from the Rangers podcast, previewing tonight's Saturday game. Does that make any sense to anyone? Previewing Saturday night's Ranger game.
Well, welcome back to Leaf Central at Lunch. We have a special interview. We have a special guest from New York. That's Steve, who's part of the Rangers cast there in New York City. And we're interviewing him because, of course, as you all know, the Leafs are playing the Rangers this coming Saturday. So we'd like to welcome you to the show, Steve. It's nice to talk to you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast and how things have been going for you this season.
All right, great. Well, yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Our podcast, it's part of the newly formed New York Sportscast Network, a sister network of the Chicago Sportscast Network. That what all these networks do is they have a different podcast/blog for every one of the local professional teams. So we're doing the Rangers one. It's the website is actually www.nyrangerscast.com. We blog on that website, and you can also access the different podcasts through there. We have a call-in number and emails that you can find on the website, and we're also available on iTunes. And basically, it is we do about two a week, and callers call in, we get them on the show, we do a lot of different things, and break down and give our opinions on the team.
Oh, very good. So you actually have call-ins, eh? That must leave have an interesting flavor for the show then.
It's a lot of fun. The biggest thing is we want it to be pretty interactive, so we allow, we hope that the fans will call in. The way it actually works is they have a call-in number and they leave a message, and that gets sent to our email address in MP3 format, and then we can, put it onto the show and we respond to it, and then we also respond to the listeners' emails. We've had a decent response, it's still getting going, it's the first season we're doing this, so, but we've had about five or six callers so far, so, it's been good.
That's good.
Oh, very good. Oh, that's interesting. It's nice to see all these podcasting networks popping up all over the, NHL these days. It's nice to see the fans getting on board with this type of information, eh? The way we can share it in a free form like this.
Especially down in America too, where it where they're not exactly readily covered as much as I'm sure they are up in Canada. So it's nice to have this outlet.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm sure the Rangers there is one of those exceptions though, because you guys have always had a good fan following, right? And I'm pretty sure all the games must be televised in the city, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the Rangers are definitely the exception. They've actually we sold out every single game, sold out the entire season within an hour of tickets going on sale. So there's no tickets available. The Garden's been packed every night, and a lot of anticipation this year, and definitely a pretty big passion amongst Ranger fans in the city.
Oh, very nice. So looking at the where the Rangers sit right now, they're third in the their division and seventh in the conference right now. 7-7 wins and losses and one overtime loss. So when we look at some of the interesting statistics about the Rangers this year, one thing that caught my eye is their goals for and their goals against. They're first in the league in preventing goals, so they're only 1.67 average goals against. But at the same time, they're last in the league in their goals for. They're scoring less than two goals a night, 1.73 goals for. What do you think could be a cause for the lack of offensive production this year?
Well, it's interesting because, heading into this year with the acquisitions of Drury and Gomez, the high-powered offense is what everybody thought would be a trademark of this team, and then the question marks relied on defense, and that's kind of flipped around. But I think the biggest thing that you have to attribute it to, and obviously a lot of it too, I think, is just that they're in a big time slump, and then at one point or another, you know, they should break out. But I think people underestimated just how important Michael Nylander was to Jaromir Jagr's game.
You stole a question from us.
What?
Oh, you just stole one of our questions. Way to go. No, carry on.
No, but, yeah, you know, Jaromir Jagr is a very unique superstar in the sense that he plays a style, a very stubborn style of puck control hockey that that doesn't allow for certain other superstar centers to mesh well with him. And if you're not meshing well, you know, with Jaromir Jagr, it's basically, you know, almost rendering the line or the offense non-existent. So, you know, he started the season with Chris Drury centering him, and the two play an extremely different style. Drury's more of the, you know, American type, dump the puck and go get it, you know, just throw anything on that and try and be in the right place at the right time. That is, you know, the antithesis of Jagr's game. And then they switched up with Gomez, centering Jagr, which was more of Jagr's game in the sense that they both kind of looked for the perfect shot and the pretty goal. But again, Gomez kind of likes to make things happen off the rush, where Jagr likes to, you know, circle deep, cycle the puck, and really wear down the defense. I think, though, that about two games ago they switched and they brought up they switched rookie Brandon Dubinsky to center Jagr. And that combo has clicked really well, actually, because Dubinsky, he's this, you know, 20-year-old kid who is really strong on the puck, and that kind of, you know, that's opened up. That's he's complimented Jagr's game a lot, like Nylander did, and I think that it's just a matter of time before those guys really get something going. And then in turn, you also had injuries early on. Three of the Rangers' top nine forwards were out for significant periods of time. Two still are. Sean Avery just returned after separating his shoulder in the second game of the season. And Marty Straka and Ryan Callahan are still out. Straka with a broken hand, and Callahan sprained his knee. So, I mean, you know, a lot of different factors combining in that, but I think the biggest one is just that the biggest offensive talent on this team needed to find a new center to work with.
So are you finding most of the fans, are very patient with Jagr and waiting for him to work his way out of this, or are we hearing a lot of people calling for a move or anything that radical at all?
No, I think he's getting a lot of patience, a lot different than actually last year, when it seemed through stretches that he wasn't necessarily trying, that, you know, he had a hurt shoulder last year that I think he thought was worse than it really was. And he kind of has like that mental ability to psych himself out. So I think last year there was a lot more, you know, calling, should this guy be the captain? You know, is he really gonna, you know, does he really care? Is he really trying? Whereas this year, you can tell that he's really giving it his all. And I think, you know, the biggest thing that really, endured him for Ranger fans this year is, I believe it was in the game against the Lightning when he got a puck to the face and lost, three teeth, I want to say, yeah, and didn't miss a shift, and not only didn't miss a shift, but came back and essentially scored the winning goal. You know, they later credited to Shanahan for barely grazing his skate, but it was essentially Jagr's goal. So, you know, this year there's much more of a feel that the team is really trying. It's just, you know, the puck's not hitting the back of the net at this point, but it will happen.
Another interesting stat when looking at the Rangers play this year is a couple interesting things we came across is they have yet to win when trailing after the first period. And that's an interesting stat to think that maybe they're having a hard time when under pressure. But another interesting thing is when they're outshot in a game, they're perfect. They've won all their games that they've been outshot. Yep. So are they just are they playing a very calm and cool game?
Well,
or is it?
Yeah, and conversely, when they're out shooting the opponent, they only have a, what is it, 33% win. So it seems like it's more like often when Lundqvist is standing on his head that they're coming and pulling through for him. Is that the case, or do you think? Or?
Well, you know, I mean, it certainly can't be, you know, understated how big Lundqvist has been for this team. He started all 15 games. And has really, I mean, in my opinion, is the best goaltender in the league at this point. But, I think that those stats are obviously, they look a little funky, But if you look at, you know, say when they're trailing after one period, they don't, they haven't won a game. I think a lot of that can be attributed just in general. They have been atrocious in the second period this year. I think they scored a total of 3 or 4 goals in the second period this year. So, whether they're winning or losing. So, you know, automatically then they're in a hole heading into the third period, and then they kind of get off their game a little bit, and have to press to score rather than have the ability to play the team defensive game that they're actually, quite good at this point. And that's where I think too, you talk about when they're outshot, I think the reason that they do well in that situation is that, obviously Lundqvist stands in the set, but when they're outshot, it's generally because they're making smart plays, and not taking any risks. And so maybe the opposing team will come into their own zone, and get a couple of shots on that. But for the most part, the Rangers are keeping those shots to the outside. So whereas on the stat sheet, it looks like the Rangers have been outplayed, the Rangers are really just collapsing and playing a style almost similar to, you know, the Devils of the last decade. Not exactly the trap game, but a very similar, you know, level of comfort playing with a lead, allowing the opponent to attack, but a controlled attack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because you mentioned about the defense, it's almost a bit of a anomaly how well the defense is playing, and that's one thing when we did our preview show of the Eastern Conference, that was the big question on everyone's mind when it came to the Rangers, was that we thought was their weakest point was their defense. So, and even when you look at their defensive core, there's really no superstar defenseman on this team. Why do you think, are they just gelling as a core? Is it a team effort that's keeping their goals against down, or would you attribute the majority of the success to your goaltender?
No, you know, I mean, I would attribute a lot of it to the goaltender just because, you know, it's hard not to. He's been unbelievable. But I think that a lot of those question marks came from, you know, national media or people who haven't seen the team up close for the last couple of years, because if you watch these guys probably for the last 20 games last season heading into the playoffs, they were playing an unbelievably sound style of defensive hockey that the coaching staff has really gotten the players to buy into. So where the defensive core might not have the big names, the whole team, all five players, you're getting players like Jaromir Jagr, who never used to back check, to come back and get in on the action defensively. When you get that, you know, team defense going, it really helps out. And then on the other side, I think that a lot of the unknown was just that, unknown. A lot of the kids players on the Rangers back line are kids. Petr Tuukka, Dan Girardi, and Mark Stahl make up half of the defensive core, and they were big question marks. They have come through big time. Mark Stahl, the transition that he's made to the pro game in 15 games has been unbelievable. You can see with every game him gaining the confidence and really turning into the player that the Rangers thought they were getting when they drafted him 12th overall. And then, you know, Fedor Tudin's growing into that type of player too. And then Dan Girardi, what can you really say about this guy? He was undrafted. The Rangers took a flyer on him. He worked hard, and he plays a really fundamentally sound style of defense that, that has really helped propel this Rangers back line that was such a big question mark to where it is at right now.
Well, we're from Toronto, so we're not exactly sure what sound defensive hockey really means.
Yeah, we're hoping you'll teach us something this Saturday when we play.
Yeah, because I mean, we have a ton of big name defensemen, and that doesn't seem to help at all. So yeah. It seems like the coaching staff has certainly done a good job with the guys that you have.
And you figure more we would pay these people, the better they would play. But for some reason, that doesn't seem to be working.
No, not at all.
But you guys could put the puck in the net. That's one thing that we're having trouble with. So maybe we could. Maybe we could swap a little bit. We'll take a little of your play, and you can take a little of ours.
Yeah. Speaking of putting the puck in the net, I was looking at Shanahan's numbers. He's second in the league with shots with 77. He's got 4 goals, and his shooting percentage is only at 5. Are they just? Is it just we're talking like poor shot selection, or are you just getting really unlucky bounces? I know last time versus the Leafs, a lot of should have been goals, but just missed the net or just hit the post type thing. Is that the kind of, again, anomaly we're looking at, where a lot of your guys, for the shooting percentage, there's only three guys above 10. Rocheval, yeah. Dawes, and Straka, who hasn't played in, what, seven games now, eight games?
Yeah. So. No, with Shanahan, I'd say that a lot of it, I wouldn't say poor shot selection, but Shanahan really believes in throwing anything and everything at the net and hoping for a rebound, a tip, that garbage goal. So, you know, he's throwing every time he gains the zone, he'll take a rip and you know, just hope people crash the net. So I don't think it's that much of an anomaly that he's, keeps hitting posts or anything like that. He throws a lot at the net there. Now on the other hand, he has also been robbed quite a few times. But, you know, they're getting their opportunities. It's gonna happen. It's just a matter of when. It's tough to keep saying that after 15 games when it hasn't happened. Yeah. But, you know, I'm really just waiting for, you know, a 5-6-7 goal outburst by this team because, you know, they're too good and they're getting too many chances for it not to happen.
Plus, when you have a team that is, definitely struggling on offense like the Rangers seem to be right now, the only way to score is to throw the puck at the net. So I'm sure that that's in the back of Shanahan's mind too, is we're not scoring and we're not going to score unless we keep throwing it at the net. So I may as well throw it at the net as much as I can.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even say it's at the back of his mind. I'd say it's at the forefront. I mean, yeah. He comes down and says it.
Yeah.
And so I agree with that. So hopefully it works out soon.
Just one more quick question before we on to just move on to the Leafs and the Rangers. The other thing I was noticing, Rangers on the road so far, 0-5-1, they're looking kind of like Calgary of last year, where they're incredibly, incredibly well played at home, but on the road they have yet to pick up a win. So tonight you have the Penguins. Are you at home for that one, or is that away?
Yeah, no, we're at home for that.
Yeah. So is there just any reason, a way that they're just not picking up the points, or?
One of the reporters asked Sean Avery that question after the loss against the Islanders, and he said the team didn't even know, that he thinks it's just a coincidence. I think it's a little bit of both. I think it is a coincidence that they haven't won on the road. They've had some bad luck on the road. I think this team also feeds greatly off the energy that the Garden has. And if you talk to a lot of these players, you hear a lot of these players talk, they really, you know, badly want to perform for the fans of New York. It's a big thing for them. They salute the crowd after every game that they win. And so I think there is something to be said about them upping their game a little bit at the Garden. That being said, I think that it's just, you know, it's a little bit of bad luck, a little bit of a coincidence, but, you know, I'm not too worried about them on the road.
Maybe they win at home all the time because of that nice wave they do to the crowd at the end of every home game. You know,
exactly. Big salute.
I like also the Rangers actually play a different song other than every stinking arena in the NHL that plays the same song every time someone scores. It was a pretty good song. I don't know what it is, but it was.
It's the nice Rangers goal song, is actually what it's called. Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah?
It's 95. The Garden's had it since, and you know that's. I got it on my iPod and it gets me pumped up before the games and stuff. So.
Very nice. So why don't we move on to the upcoming game this Saturday night? We have you could almost call Toronto an offensive powerhouse. That's almost the only thing we know how to do right now, is score goals against a defensive powerhouse at the moment who can stop goals. So what do you think the Rangers, the key to them winning against Toronto this coming Saturday?
Yeah, I think, it's easy to say it, but I think that against Toronto, especially after the game that we saw the two play a couple of weeks ago, the Rangers got to score. They got to score a couple of goals because while against most of the teams in the NHL, you know, one or two goals might be enough for this Rangers team the way they're playing defensively, we've seen just how explosive the Maple Leafs can be. So, you know, if they can only put one puck in the net all night, all the Maple Leafs need is a 4-5-6 minute window where they can score three quick goals and the game can be out of reach like it was last time. And especially since, I don't know if you know this and it's not a definite yet, but there's a lot of rumblings that Saturday night against Toronto, Valakhet's going to get his first start of the season, so you might miss out on the hottest goalie in the league. So especially if that happens, they've really got to, you know, put some pucks in the net because you can't expect Valakhet to hold this this powerhouse to, you know, one or two goals.
Hmm.
Oh, I guess that's about it. I mean, that it is strange, though, that you guys really do need a backup goaltender, and I guess that'll be something they'll be looking in the future, because right now, Lundqvist is just playing, what is he going to end up playing, you know, 75 games by the end of the year at this
rate? Yeah, you know, it's very similar to again, I said about the Devils, to Marty Brodeur and the Devils. He's really taking that next step this year where he's, you know, he's seeing everything well. He's on the top of his game. He's moving great down low. And, you know, taking pretty much everything away. You know, I can't remember the last time, even with Richter, you know, it's been a while since you have been comfortable with the Rangers being up 1-0. You know, you felt like almost that could be enough, and that's almost where you're at with this goalie right now. So yeah, you know, it's going well, and hopefully they can start putting the puck in the net, which, you know, I just want to say to you guys, I would just, if I'm an opposing team playing the Rangers right now, I'm nervous because they're close and there's just one of, they're going to take it out on a team, you know, in the next couple of games. It's going to happen.
Mm. So Valakhin, he hasn't played a game yet this year?
No. Valakhin hasn't played a game this year. It's long since it started 15 straight. The first time that Rangers goaltender's done that since 1940, actually. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people expected him to get his first start in their back-to-back that they played against Philly and the Islanders this week, but Lundqvist keeps saying he feels good, and with the team not scoring, he gives the team by far the best chance to win. So they said that, you know, Lundqvist will be in goal tonight, and then he'll talk it over with Rennie tomorrow probably, but I mean, Valakhin's got to get a start sometime soon. A lot of people are pinning the game Saturday night against Toronto as the day.
Well, the Leafs always seem to get backup goalies, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that, that's for sure.
Well, very good. Again, this is Steve from NY Rangers Cast, podcast out of New York City, and thanks so much for being on the show today. Looking forward to the game
guys.
Saturday night. I know we should let you go. The puck's going to drop there in Manhattan any time now, so we should let you get on your way to get your seats for the game. So thanks again.
All right, thanks a lot. Yep. Good luck, guys, tonight with you guys too, and we'll see you on Saturday, right?
Yep.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye bye.
We actually have to phone Wayne now. Guys, we're ready for a live phone call. We're gonna get a hold of Wayne to do Wayne's Word.
Wayne's Word. Well, let's do our guesses first before we get a hold of him.
Our what?
Our guesses.
Yeah, and then we'll let him know. Well, you dial him up there, Chris, and I'll explain who we're guessing this week.
Sure.
Wayne's. Hey, all I really want is Word. And in the morning it's Wayne's. 'Cause in the evening it's Word.
So the word or the player that we're going to guess this week is Talusti.
In honor of him making the team.
Exactly.
Staying up, that's a good
Since
idea.
Since he has made the team, we will reward him with the first star of Wayne's Word.
All right, let's see if he picks up. If he's home. If he's not, I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't know either.
We'll get my mom to spell it.
Hello?
Hello, Wayne.
Wayne! Hi, guys.
How was the dentist appointment?
Oh, fine.
What's with you and my appointments? You had your special massages last week, and now you have a dentist appointment?
Special massages? I don't need to hear about that.
You missed it. He had to sign off to go get a special massage.
Yeah.
Hey, Wayne, we're just about to get Wayne's Word started. We've already picked our word, and we've got our guesses. Oh, no,
we don't have any guesses.
No,
is that all I'm here for, like, just for Wayne's Word? That's it?
You have any other comments you want to make about anything, Wayne?
Not really.
Then that's all you're here for.
The least stuff.
Hold on.
Leafs stuck on the other night with Ottawa, so that's all.
That's all that matters.
Indeed.
Well, get this. I'm in third.
We went over the pool already, Wiener.
Wait, did you know that Toskala is a castrated ram with a bell around his neck?
What?
Nothing.
Wayne, you're our bellwether. The bellwether of Leafs Central at lunch. Dong, dong, dong.
Okay, what's the word? I'm ready for it.
Oh, sorry.
Well, we got to guess our guesses first.
Okay, let's guess. So, Brian, how many do you think he's going to get right?
How many letters is it?
How many letters have we gotten there? We got six or seven?
Six letters.
I'm going to go with... I want to say one, but I'm gonna go back to two again. Two does me good.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got to get a vowel in the right spot somewhere.
I don't know.
I was on the same boat with you, Brian. It was either one or two.
Okay, yeah, wait. You go one and I'll go two, and then we'll call it a draw.
Okay. Hey, what? And by the way, in honor of last week's Wayne's Word, Mike Medano scored his two of his American scoring leading points against Mr. Evgeny Nakbok.
That was two episodes ago.
Two episodes ago?
Yeah, because he got Zetterberg almost last time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. It was Zetterberg.
Yeah. Pittsburgh.
Yeah. But
okay, so Brian, you're going to say two. Chris, you say one.
I'll say one, yeah.
I'll say two.
Okay, I think I'm going to kick it up and go with three.
Oh, you're screwed.
No, I'm not. You watch.
You're gonna get, you think he'll get 50%? Not going to happen.
Yep. Wayne, you ready for the word?
Yeah, what's the word? Come on.
I hope you have the origin ready, Dave.
Yep, you're going to have to ask it, Wayne. It is Tolusti.
No. Skip another one. Thank you.
No. Can't refuse Wayne's word. From Slaney, Czech Republic. It is your Tolusti.
No, pass.
You can't pass.
Wayne, you can't pass.
Toulouse. Think about it. Just close your eyes.
Toulouse.
You won with the alphabet.
Okay, T-U-L.
Mm-hmm.
S. I'm going to say L-Y.
Oh, three? Oh, right.
Did he get three? Come on. Yep.
He said T, which is right. U is wrong. L is wrong. S is right. L was wrong. Y was right.
Okay.
So you said Tulsi.
Tulsi. So from now on, guys, when we talk about Tulsi, we have to call him Tulsi.
And Tulsi pulls a knockbuck. Well, that was close, Wayne. Good job.
Yeah.
Okay.
That dentist work did you well.
Yeah.
So that puts me in the first place for Wayne's work.
I've got nothing to, no comments today because I thought Leafs sucked on. And,
comment.
They sucked really bad. Just like watching you guys play last night.
Exactly.
And by the way,
those of you who don't know, which is everybody, we had our shinny hockey last night, and Wayne was kind enough to grace us with his presence and offer us a critique on how well we play.
Which obviously wasn't very good.
And Dave got cross-checked in the back from behind by Mr. Timo.
Yeah, that should be a game suspension.
Get him to listen so he can... stew in his own juices.
He must be getting drafted by Philly or something. Just practicing in case he does.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, well, do you guys need me now? Because I'm going to go.
Okay.
Wayne, you're always needed, Wayne.
What?
You're always needed.
I know. Can I go? Because I said the word, and you can even say what you want with it. I'm off the high note, and that's it.
Okay. Okay, Mumbles, you can leave.
All right, later, guys.
Okay,
adios, amigos. Bye bye.
One more time.
How many goodbyes at the end of the day?
Tulsi. What was it again? Tulsi?
Tulsi.
I don't know.
Tulsi. I gotta get these on the blog. I haven't got any of them up there yet.
Oh, yeah. Is it sexy yet, our blog?
No, not sexy yet.
It's too bad. No T and D? I mean A and D?
T of D
and A. DNA. I don't know.
A-D?
We just played. We just played Wayne's Word. I mean, I'm totally messed up now. Well, we didn't play Wayne's Word. I think that's it then.
Well, we got an interview coming up, right?
Well, we would have played it by now.
Oh, I didn't realize.
For all those who don't realize that we're doing the interview later tonight, and we're gonna do this amazing thing that we can do in modern technology. It's called editing. We're gonna put the interview before Wayne's Word.
Okay. And we're going to edit all this nonsense out.
Probably not. All right, so thanks for this episode, guys. Episode 9 will be next week, hopefully, and we're going to try to get James back on. Yeah. We'll actually get together in person, guys, and try to have a whale of a show.
Yeah, we'll prepare. We won't
tumble
over our tongues like we did tonight, and it'll be good.
Let's hope so.
So remember, get a hold of us anytime at leafscentral@gmail.com, and please stop by our blog at leafscentralatlunch.blogspot.com, and of course our sporting news pool. It's good to see some new teams on there, so everybody join on up.
And thanks to the guys for Rangers Cast for joining us.
Yep.
And thanks for that interview. And hopefully it won't follow. It won't. We won't
screw up like last one.
Yeah, screw it up like last time. Because that will all be for naught. See you next week, guys.
Okay. We'll see you guys.
Bye. Ciao.